From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Public Library, offering downloadable e-books, audiobooks, streaming movies, and more, all available with a library card. Card information at lplks.org.
72 degrees in Lawrence under cloudy skies, 66 in Topeka. It's 6:06. From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City, always online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, working to address major challenges in disease prevention and treatment, sustainable energy solutions, and more. Information about KU research is at ku.edu.
Still have about 40 minutes of All Things Considered yet to come. We'll get you an update of news headlines in about 12 minutes. We will visit the Tenement Museum in New York City before we get to 7 o'clock. Remember the life and career of Diane Keaton. And we'll tell you more about the personal impact of tariffs on some Asian grocers. It's all coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from the Dole Institute of Politics, hosting the annual Tribute to Veterans Gala on Sunday, November 9th. Open to the public, reservations required. Details and registration at doleinstitute.org.
We do have a 20% chance of rain this evening. Lows in the lower 60s, mostly cloudy tomorrow morning. Clearing up as the day goes on. Highs around 80 tomorrow. Tomorrow night's low in the lower 60s, into the mid-80s for Wednesday, lower 80s for Thursday, cooling off a bit on Friday and Saturday. It's 72 degrees in Lawrence, 66 in Topeka, 62 in Manhattan. The time is 6:20. Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations for Morning Edition. Get caught up on the very latest news. First thing in the morning, Matthew Algio will be your local host.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Community Orchestra, presenting Spooky Carnival, featuring seasonal fun and music, Sunday, October 19th, 2:30 p.m. at Lawrence High School. Information and tickets at lawrenceorchestra.org.
News headlines are up next at 6:30.
Wall Street ended the day higher, the Dow up 587 points, the Nasdaq up 490, the S&P 500 up 102. You're listening to NPR News.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. A startup wants to put a nuclear reactor 1 mile underground in Kansas. Celia Yopis-Jepson reports.
Deep Fission's idea is to drill a 30-inch borehole 1 mile deep and put a small nuclear reactor into it. It says this design could fuel energy-hungry AI data centers with what the company calls discrete and bespoke nuclear installations. It has signed a letter of intent with a partner for a site in Kansas. The company isn't disclosing the partner and site at this time. This is the second nuclear company to reveal plans related to Kansas in the past month. The other, TerraPower, wants to build a utility-scale nuclear plant in Evergy's service area. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Celia Yopis-Jepson.
The number of people experiencing homelessness in Kansas this year fell by 157, a little bit more than 5%. A new report shows a total of more than 2,600 homeless people were counted throughout the state during a single night in January. That's how advocacy groups and local governments track the homeless population each year. Molly Mendenhall of the Kansas Statewide Homeless Coalition said that the decline is partly due to local and regional service providers working together.
They're really looking at it as a community and how can we help the people who live in this community, especially if they don't have housing.
More than 60% of the state's homeless population reside in either Lawrence or the Wichita area. The future of ranching and conservation may be fenceless with high-tech cattle collars. Harvest Public Media's Rachel Kramer reports that ranchers, conservationists, and researchers have been exploring the potential of so-called virtual fencing across the Midwest and the Great Plains.
Virtual fencing uses GPS collars, sounds, and electrical cues to move cattle away from certain areas and into others. Daniel Mushrush, a rancher in the Flint Hills of eastern Kansas, is part of a five-year project testing the technology. He says virtual fencing saves him time and provides more flexibility. Mushrush can change the fence line and move cattle from an app on his phone.
Say that you want to go to your kid's concert. You could move them from the concert, or you can just schedule it to move at 8 o'clock at night.
More precise control over where cattle graze can also help diversify habitat for grassland birds and protect sensitive nesting sites during specific times of the year. I'm Rachel Kramer, Harvest Public Media.
The forecast for northeast and east central Kansas, mostly cloudy skies tonight with a 20% chance of showers. Lows in the lower 60s tomorrow, mostly cloudy through the morning, but becoming mostly sunny as the day wears on. Highs tomorrow around 80 degrees, lows in the lower 60s tomorrow night, into the mid-80s for Wednesday and Thursday. It's 72 degrees in Lawrence. The time is 6:35.
Listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
Hey, it's A. Martinez. We've all been there. You get a phone call or knock on your door too early in the morning before you're fully awake. Who and why, you wonder, at this hour? For something you want to hear first thing, tune into Morning Edition. We'll get you up to date on the day's biggest headlines and bring you unexpected stories that make you smile. Listen whenever you're ready, weekday mornings from NPR News.
Join us first thing tomorrow morning, 5 to 9 a.m. anytime in that time frame. You can tune in and hear the latest national, international, and regional news from NPR and KPR. Matthew Algio will be your local host.
Support for KPR comes from the Watkins Museum of History, presenting their 50th anniversary party, Keeping History Alive Since 75, November 20th, 5:30 to 10:30 at Abe and Jake's Landing. Tickets and details at watkinsmuseum.org.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 89.7 FM in Emporia, many frequencies all around the state. Thanks to the generosity of listeners just like you. You can listen online anytime at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from the Willow Domestic Violence Center's Bijou, an evening of roaring 20s writs, jazz, and a live auction, all in support of the Willow. October 16th, 6 p.m. at Maselli's. Tickets at willowdvcenter.org.
A little more All Things Considered yet to come. Stay tuned after 7 o'clock on your KPR One stations. We have 2 hours of classical music with Destiny. If you're joining us on KPR Two, up next is This American Life. 62 degrees in Manhattan, 70 in Chanute. It's 10 minutes before 7.
Investing and trading on Thinkorswim. Learn more at schwab.com. From Progressive Insurance, Progressive is looking for individuals in a variety of career fields who want to help build a culture of inclusiveness. More information, including application, at progressive.com/careers. And from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation at macfound.org.
You might hear some people you agree with on Morning Edition and some you don't. That's the point. Different views for a full picture of the news. Listen weekdays from NPR News.
You can hear Morning Edition on your KPR stations from 5 to 9 a.m. tomorrow. We're live. We're local. We are Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, 91.3. KANQ Chanute, 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Heartland Community Health Center, providing comprehensive patient-centered care, including chronic condition management, striving to meet patients' health needs at one visit through an integrated care model. Details at heartlandhealth.org.
Coming up in just about a minute, an update of news headlines, followed by Stardate, then 2 hours of classical music with Destiny. She has some special music picked out, sort of connected to this time of year, and something almost guaranteed to make you laugh. Stick around for Evening Classical with Destiny.
When your old car or truck is no longer your favorite place to listen to KPR, consider donating it to Kansas Public Radio. Learn more about our Vehicles for Charity program at kansaspublicradio.org.
We do have a 20% chance of showers this evening, lows in the lower 60s tomorrow, mostly cloudy in the morning, but sunshine by the afternoon with highs around 80. You're listening to KPR. It's 7 o'clock and the news is next.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Israel and Hamas took the first step of a Gaza ceasefire agreement today by freeing hostages and prisoners, but thornier issues remain, like whether Hamas will disarm and whether Palestine will be recognized as an independent state, a move vigorously opposed by Israel. More than 20 world leaders discussed what's next at a summit in Egypt today. NPR's Aya Batraoui explains.
This was an important summit. It brought together leaders from Europe, the Middle East, and beyond, and it signaled that what comes next for Gaza will require international attention, including resources and boots on the ground. These countries had been pressing for a ceasefire for a while, but ultimately it was Trump's intervention now that brought Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to agree and got Egypt and Qatar, the two mediators, to convince Hamas that releasing the hostages had Trump's guarantee of a permanent end to the war. But what comes next is murky, and there is still a lot that needs to be worked out. Gaza needs tons of humanitarian aid, reconstruction, and Israeli forces still control more than half of Gaza's territory.
NPR's Aya Batraoui reporting. The federal government remains shut down, with Congress unable to come to a deal to resume funding. NPR's Andrea Hsu reports some furloughed federal employees are finding ways to support each other.
Charlotte Slayman works for the Federal Trade Commission and is a member of the National Treasury Employees Union. She says federal workers need to take care of each other right now, given what they've been through. Seeing important work they've been doing denigrated or halted, being unable to do the jobs they were hired to do for the public. She spoke in her personal capacity.
I want us to turn that pain into strength and action. And I want Congress to fight for us.
The White House continues to blame Democrats for the impasse. In a statement, spokeswoman Abigail Jackson said the administration was encouraging Democrats to, quote, stop the pain and reopen the government. Andrea Hsu, NPR News.
Vice President J.D. Vance says there could be deeper cuts to the federal workforce the longer the government shutdown goes on. He said the new cuts would be painful. Hundreds of thousands of workers are now furloughed. The Nobel Prize in Economics was awarded today for research on how technological change influences economic growth. NPR's Scott Horsley reports.
Joel Moker of Northwestern University, Peter Howard of Brown University, and Philippe Aguillon of the College of France and the London School of Economics will share the prize money of about $1.2 million. Jan Hassler of the Nobel Committee recognized the three for their research on how changing technology has helped to usher in higher living standards.
Over the span of 1 or 2 centuries, almost everything has changed. Change, not stagnation, has become the new normal.
The research also guides policymakers in how to manage the creative destruction that comes with that change and build safety nets for people who might be displaced. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
It's NPR.
Support for NPR comes from Capital One, offering their premium travel card Venture X. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Details at CapitalOne.com. This is Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate October 13th. Deneb, the brightest star of Cygnus, stands high overhead as night falls at this time of year. And it really is a brilliant star, tens of thousands of times brighter than the sun. But if we could tune our eyes to see radio waves, Deneb wouldn't even register. Instead, the swan's leading light would be Cygnus A, one of the brightest radio galaxies in the universe. A radio galaxy produces huge amounts of radio waves. It's usually a large elliptical galaxy, which looks like a fat, fuzzy football. It has a supermassive black hole at its center. Gas, dust, and stars spiral into the black hole, but powerful magnetic fields eject some of that material back into space. It forms jets that fire out at almost the speed of light. The jets can span hundreds of thousands of light years. Electrons spiral through a jet's magnetic field, producing radio waves. Eventually, the jets plow into gas and dust between galaxies, forming wide bubbles that emit even more radio waves. Cygnus A was the first radio galaxy ever discovered in 1939. It's about 760 million light years away. Its black hole is 2.5 billion times the mass of the Sun. The entire complex, galaxy, jets, and bubbles, spans more than 600,000 light years. That's 6 times the diameter of our home galaxy, the Milky Way, one of the biggest, brightest radio galaxies in our part of the universe. More about radio galaxies tomorrow. For the University of Texas at Austin McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Thank you. Ooh, happy Frightful Monday night, KPR friends. Hi there, I'm Destiny. That was Dance Macabre by Camille Saint-Saëns here on your favorite radio station, Lauren Mazel with the National Orchestra of France. Well, if you want to hear that live and in person, you can by hearing yours truly play it, not on the radio, but actually on my violin. Save the date. It's coming up Friday, October 24th, 7 p.m. It's a part of Live Day. Oh, it's going to be so great. Your dear old host here, Destiny, is going to be at the Lawrence Public Library playing a spooky show. It's going to be really fun. Of course, there will be bad jokes as well. And I have a bad joke that I have saved for the very end of the hour. It's actually something that sounds pretty bad, but it's supposed to because it's funny Halloween music. But how about for this Monday night, we don't listen to something bad right now. How about Dvorak Symphony No. 8? It's a lovely one. It's about 40 minutes long, and I've got a recording of Carlo Maria Giulini here with the Concertgebouw Orchestra. I hope you like it right now on Kansas Public Radio.
Thank you.
Dvorak Symphony No. 8 here on Kansas Public Radio with Carlo Maria Giulini conducting the Concertgebouw Orchestra. I am Destiny. Thank you for being here with me and listening to that entire symphony, because about in 30 seconds you're going to hear something really funny and really bad. Am I allowed to play bad things on the radio? Well, we'll find out. This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Assistance for Immigrants and Refugees, or AIR, a volunteer group sponsoring refugee resettlement in Lawrence and assisting with housing, jobs, social services, and education. Info at airefugeeslawrence.org. All right, this next one is a real gem, like one of our great supporters here on Kansas Public Radio. Support for classical music comes from Kaiser Cummings Jewelers. More than 35 years of custom-designed handcrafted jewelry in downtown Lawrence. Collection online at kaisercummings.com. And now, for this gem. I'm sorry, it might hurt your ears a little bit. On KPR. That is called Halloween by Charles Ives, because of course it is here on KPR, the New York String Quartet. Wow. So, you know, it takes a lot of gumption for a musician to purposefully sound bad. And the opening of that is really funny. Sounds like, gosh, back when I was playing my squeaky instrument trying to learn how to do some scales just for Halloween. Wow. I hope you found that funny. There's more soothing music coming up after this. Don't worry, Classics Live always has something nice. And I'm back tomorrow. Actually, there's classical music all of the time. And then jazz music. We've got so many great options for you to listen to. And you can even pick the playlist for one of the shows. Saturday, 1 to 4, Classics by Request. Just go to kansaspublicradio.org/classicsbyrequest and let me know what you'd like to hear. In the meantime, I hope you all have a lovely rest of your Monday evening. See you soon on Kansas Public Radio.
On Morning Edition from NPR News, you hear directly from people in the headlines, whether you agree with them or not.
Zohran Mamdani, presumptive Democratic nominee for mayor in New York City.
Thank Steve Bannon, it's a pleasure talking with you. Thank you.
Steve, always great.
That is Tricia McLaughlin. She's Assistant Secretary of Public Affairs at the Department of Homeland Security. Madam Assistant Secretary.
It's our job to bring you different views and to question everyone fairly. Join us weekday mornings.
Morning Edition is here for you weekdays on KPR from 5 to 9 a.m. This is Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas for KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio.
Welcome to Classics Live from Kansas Public Radio. I'm Cordelia Brown, your plus one here in the audience of the Polsky Theater and the Midwest Trust Center at Johnson County Community College. This will be a Beethoven Tchaikovsky Rule Joyce recital with KPR's own Destiny Ann Mermagan, violin of prairieclassical.org. Her husband Mike Mermagan, who teaches cello at UMKC, and Park University's concert pianist and teacher of collaborative piano, Lolita Lisovskaya-Seyovich. Destiny's starting off by thanking Doreen Marande for her work putting this recital series together and congratulating Doreen on now having the Rule Joyce programs renamed as the Doreen Marande Professional Recital Series.
Hello. Humans, yay! So nice to see you all here. Thank you for being here. We as performers love actually playing for real people, so it means a lot to us that you're here, and we are so excited to be sharing in this exciting news for Doreen. She is such a gem, don't you think? Yes. We're very, very excited. Our very first piece of music that we are playing for you is Beethoven Trio, Opus 1, Number 3. Did I get that right? Yes. Okay. I should. I work on the radio, so if I screw up, my boss will hear about it. This is a really interesting trio. He composed it with a set of three, and the last trio, Haydn was his teacher, and Haydn was not a fan of Beethoven's last trio of the set, but Beethoven, being Beethoven, published it anyways, because he was a stinker. And so this particular trio is very intriguing. The opening, I'm going to just tell you a little bit about it so you know what to listen for. The opening, the three of us, have the same seven notes in unison, meaning we all play the same note. But then Beethoven, being the ever trickster, he repeats that figure but moves it up just a half step. So it's like, whoo, it's really spooky. And it ends very, you might think it's the end of the concert at the end of this movement, but it's not. Then the slower movement, the second movement, is very beautiful and lyrical, and I think you'll really enjoy it. You could even put the word charming with Beethoven, which is amazing. The third movement, you might feel a little unsettled, and that's normal. We do too, because Beethoven was really playing around with the rhythms and the meters, and so it's not what you expect, and I think he was probably trying to tick his teacher Haydn off by doing it. The last movement is very virtuosic, and Lolita is an amazing pianist, so I am so excited that you get to hear this. The ending is unlike anything I am used to with Beethoven. It's in a minor key, the whole trio, which means it's dark and stormy, but the ending, it ends in a major key, in a happy key, and it's very soft, and you're just left feeling very unresolved. And Mike mentioned that perhaps Beethoven was trying to play a trick on the audience, so I know you guys won't fall for it, though. Enjoy. Thank you.
That's the surprise ending. great stuff. Actually, I was just realizing backstage that a lot of the old programs from even 100 years ago have been formed this way, with a major piece as the opener and then a bunch of short pieces or salon music for the rest of the concert. And that's kind of the model of this one. I don't know how it happened, but we just have a lot of short pieces that we're going to play for you now. So it says Tchaikovsky Valse Sentimentale is next, but I think what we'll do is we'll do that, and then we're going to do a Kreisler piece, and then we're going to do the second cello Tchaikovsky piece, and then we'll close with another Kreisler piece.
So you don't get too sick of one of us.
I thought it'd be a nice way to mix it up. But anyway, these pieces, the two cello pieces, are transcriptions from solo piano works. And apparently in the late 1880s, they were extremely popular. And when I read that, I wonder if that means Taylor Swift popular, or I don't know. I'm not sure what that means, but extremely popular, yeah, it must have been really well known by all audience members. And anyway, a cellist from the Moscow Conservatory, his name was William Fitzenhagen. He's actually responsible for the version of the Rococo variations that we have today. Tchaikovsky wrote a different order of variations, and one of them even slightly different than what is performed today. What's performed today is actually Fitzenhagen's arrangement. And originally Tchaikovsky was not very happy about that, but then he gave in eventually because everybody plays it that way, is what he said. And so he gave the publishers permission to publish it in the order that Fitzenhagen performed it. So these arrangements are also from Fitzenhagen, the piano cello arrangements. For, I think, the Nocturne, Tchaikovsky also arranged it for orchestra and cello after the Fitzenhagen arrangement. So cellists apparently really like this music, and I remember hearing it from my my teacher's album after he won the silver medal in the Tchaikovsky competition. He did an album in 1968, which included these two Tchaikovsky pieces. So that's why I chose them. They're something I used to listen to frequently when I was studying cello.
Very, very dramatic. Well, I have a couple of short pieces. I am going to play one of them, the first that is mentioned there, Liebeslied, and that means love's sorrow. Kreisler was a violinist himself with a very unique sound, and thankfully there are still a few recordings left of him playing. So if you want to hear a really different kind of sounding violinist who sounds like the human voice and sometimes like a cat meowing, but in the best way, I highly recommend, really, I have a lot of cats, I like cats. I highly recommend checking out Kreisler and try to find the original recordings of him playing. They're fantastic. So this first one, Liebeslied, Love's Sorrow, will be followed by Mike playing his Nocturne, and then I will get back up here and play for you Schön Rosmarin, which means fair rosemary. And if you clap really well and you like us, we have a special encore for you. Thank you.
Thank you. something happy now that you're all thoroughly depressed. Such a good audience. It sounds like you want an encore. Thank you. We are going to play for you a tango, but first, I think Doreen deserves another round of applause for being such a gem to this city. We are so lucky to have her for running this series. We are very grateful to be here to share in this, and stick around and say hi to us afterwards. We're real people. We like talking to people. We don't get out much. We just sit at home and practice. A tango. It is one of the most famous of all time, Oblivion by Astor Piazzolla.
Destiny?
Yes?
I forgot to mention, there's a reception afterward that you're all invited to.
There's a reception afterwards. That's fantastic. Then we'll definitely be there.
Thank you.
with pianist Lolita Lisovskaya-Seyevich from the Park University International Center for Music, and the Mermaidens. Destiny Ann Mermaidin is the violinist and Kansas Public Radio's own classical music host. Her husband and music partner, Mike Mermaidin, is the cello professor at the University of Missouri's Conservatory of Music in Kansas City. This has been part of the Rule Joyce Doreen Marande professional recital series that Johnson County Community College hosts each spring and fall semester. It's a series of free noon-hour concerts held sometimes on Mondays, open to all students, staff, and to the public. Check jccc.edu for the latest schedule. Brought to you by KPR's weekly radio series, Classics Live, which aims to bring you the best live and local classical concerts in the area. Chuck Smith was our recording engineer, and I'm Cordelia Brown. Broadcasts of Classics Live are a production of Kansas Public Radio. Kansas City pianist Poe Sim Head played that suite by Roberto Carpio Valdez. Recorded in our live performance studio on June 9th, 2023. This has been Classics Live on KPR, Kansas Public Radio. Support for Classics Live comes from the KU School of Music, presenting Dark Side of Oz, with jazz students blending the music of Pink Floyd alongside reimagined images from The Wizard of Oz at Liberty Hall Wednesday, October 29th. Tickets at libertyhall.net. And from the Dole Institute, Dr. Barbara Ballard and the Student Advisory Board alum Jesse Burbank moderate Healthcare in the U.S. Constitution with Harvard Law's I. Glenn Cohen on October 15th at 7 p.m. More at doleinstitute.org. And from KJHK, celebrating their 50th birthday with a local music festival in Lawrence, with Lawrence bands from across the decades performing at 7 venues, Friday, October 17th and Saturday, October 18th. Tickets at Granada.com. This is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, from the University of Kansas.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Around 1,700 Palestinians were released from Israeli prison and returned to Gaza today as part of a ceasefire deal in the war between Israel and Hamas. In return, the remaining 20 hostages still alive after being held in Gaza for more than 2 years were returned to Israel, along with several bodies of hostages. NPR's Kat Lonsdorf has more.
The Palestinians returned to Gaza were part of thousands seized by Israeli forces and imprisoned without charges during the war. In the city of Khan Yunis, loved ones cheered at their release. Islam Ahmed, a journalist from northern Gaza who was detained by the Israeli military late last year, spoke with NPR's Anas Baba. It was miserable in prison. We were beaten and humiliated, Ahmed said, noting he lost more than 60 pounds in 10 months. Israel's prison service has defended its treatment of Palestinians, although human rights groups in Israel and abroad have documented serious mistreatment. Around 200 Palestinian prisoners were also released, many who had been serving sentences for serious crimes against Israelis and exiled to other countries. Kat Lonsdorf, NPR News.
Major questions remain about the future of Gaza, including whether Hamas will disarm and who will govern the enclave. But after celebrating the first steps of the U.S. brokered ceasefire deal, President Trump is trying to advance broader peace in the region. He's calling for a new era of harmony in the Middle East.
All the momentum now is toward a great, glorious, and lasting peace, and our commitment to fulfilling the 20-point plan we developed together will be the crucial foundation for achieving that bright future, and it's being worked on right now as we speak.
Trump spoke during a global summit in Egypt on Gaza's future. Trump urged world leaders to end old feuds and said the Israel-Hamas ceasefire is the first step to peace. Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson says the government shutdown may become the longest in history. Johnson is refusing to call the House back into session. The Senate was closed today for the federal holiday, and senators aren't any closer to passing a funding bill. Johnson says he won't negotiate with Democrats until they stop making demands for extending health care subsidies.
Our members are doing very productive work. We're in constant communication with them, and we are ready to come back and continue the work in our committees and everything on the House floor. We will return to legislative session as soon as the Democrats come to their senses and open the government.
The closure has halted routine government operations and left airports scrambling with flight disruptions. Hundreds of thousands of federal workers have been furloughed without pay. The Trump administration is also using the shutdown to justify laying off thousands more. Vice President J.D. Vance says there could be deeper cuts to the federal workforce the longer the government shutdown goes on. He said the new cuts would be painful. Hundreds of thousands of workers are now furloughed. From Washington, this is NPR News. A bus veered off a road and plunged down an embankment in South Africa, killing at least 42 people and injuring another 49. The crash happened about 250 miles north of Pretoria. The Transportation Ministry says that victims include 7 children. The bus was carrying Zimbabwean and Malawian nationals on their way to their home countries. One of the country's most powerful media watchdogs has filed for bankruptcy. As NPR's Netta Ulaby reports, the organization organized mass complaints against broadcast indecency.
When Justin Timberlake ripped off part of Janet Jackson's costume during the 2004 Super Bowl halftime show, members of the Parents Television Council filed more than 60,000 complaints with the FCC claiming they could see her nipple. The conservative group was known for marshaling consumer pushbacks against depictions of sex, drugs, and violence on popular shows like Family Guy, which responded with parodies.
You've got to censor television, you fools! Now follow my orders!
The group, which changed its name to the Parents Television and Media Council, filed for bankruptcy earlier this month. It was funded by donations that had dropped by more than 75% over the past 20 years. Netta Ulipi, NPR News.
The NBA is planning to revamp its All-Star game, pitting U.S. players against international stars. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver says the goal is to create a fun and exciting experience for fans. NBA players like Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's from Greece, and Nikola Jokic, who's from Serbia, support the idea, hoping it'll add intensity to the game. I'm Ryland Barton. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the Skoll Foundation, dedicated to powering social innovators to transform the world. Learn more at skoll.org. And Jarl and Pamela Mohn, focusing on civil liberties, foster youth, public radio, and the arts.
It's KPR Jazz here on Kansas Public Radio. I'm Tom Parkinson. Welcome to another hour of jazz. We keep it going for you all night long here on Kansas Public Radio. We're going to start out with several saxophonists accompanied by piano trios. And stay with us in just about 20 minutes. We're going to have some Beatle jazz. We have a couple of recent releases featuring music of Lennon McCartney, a jazz style. First, though, here's Phil Woods on alto saxophone, Bill Charlap is the piano player with Peter Washington, and Willie Jones III on bass and drums, Roy Hargrove sitting in on flugelhorn, with one of Kenny Dorham's compositions, Philly Twist, here on KPR's All Night Jazz.
Thank you.